Physician Extend This on this week's Insights in Nursing. Welcome to another episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm your host, Jamie Davis from the Nursing Show podcast, and we're back with our panel of special nursing guests. We have with us today Terry Pollock from Nurse Ratched's Place. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Kim McAllister from the Emergiblog.
Hi.
The brief answers today. This show will be now 10 minutes long.
I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. You can't shut us up.
I knew if I could just get you started.
I'm just saving it up for later.
I know. Well, and we do have a couple of interesting topics that'll get us started off this week. I just want to remind everybody, you can find this show over at insightsinnursing.com, and you are welcome to leave any comments you have on any of the episode posts over there. We will get an email when those get sent to us, and we'll respond back to you. You can also reach us by sending your emails into insightsinnursing@gmail.com. And we just love to hear from you. So if you have an article, a link to something that you've been bugged about in the nursing field, if there's something you'd like us to look at as a hot button issue, share those topics with us and we'll dig into it on the next episode of Insights in Nursing. So the topic this week is an article I found over at usatoday.com. And actually, I was traveling last week, so I got the old free USA Today shoved under my door. And this was the front page article, Problem Nurses Fall Through the Cracks, Multi-State License Lets Some Move On to New Jobs. Now, this is interesting because I usually think of the multi-state license advantage that nurses have as one of the primary good things that nursing has done. We've been able to bring down some of the barriers that affect so many other professions and had a licensure that extends across state boundaries, or at least makes it easier to relicense in another state if you move or if you work in a neighboring state's hospital system. Is this really a huge issue that we've got rogue multi-state nurses out there?
I don't know that it's a bad thing. Multi-state licensure is in itself is not a bad thing. But what we've got is, it sounds like, as in every group, there are some bad apples out there who have shown one of the weaknesses of the multi-state licensure, and that is the inability to monitor across the board, meaning if you're disciplined in one state, you're able to go to another state and practice, and that should not be. I think if they could modify that somehow so that if a nurse is disciplined in one state, that it is all the states involved, you have the same information, and that the participating hospitals or states have access to that information, and not only have access, but take action on that information until the record is clear. So it's a good system with an exposed weakness.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a very good system, but I mean, the idea is really good, but there are some flaws in it. I know the article specifically mentioned a nurse from Maryland, and I know that the board here, the Board of Nursing, is grossly understaffed. They have a lot of responsibilities. They have a very small budget and a very small core staff. And to monitor everything and everyone within the system, the way it's set up right now, is pretty impossible.
Yeah, I know. I'm in Maryland as well, Terry, and I have to say, you know, if you want to, don't call and leave a message or email, because you probably won't hear back from them. I know a couple of times I've tried to contact the Maryland Board of Nursing. It's been, you know, yelling into an empty cave. Hello, hello, hello.
I know, it's dismal.
Well, but this is, I mean, both of you have been working in nursing for a while, and have you seen this to be a big issue? Have you known of this to crop up in your areas where you've seen nurses come in that ended up being fired because they had a license in another state that had been revoked and they didn't disclose the information? Or this doesn't seem to be something that, I mean, I do a lot of searches in the news on a regular basis for nursing and nurse related topics. And I rarely see topics crop up where this seems to be a big issue.
I've never seen this happen in real life. I've always thought that if you were disciplined in your initial home state, that it covered all your nursing practice everywhere. So if, say, I have a California license and there are some states that have reciprocity with California, I would assume that any problems that I would have with my licensing in the state of California would and should affect wherever I would go. So it's very strange that, you know, screw up in Washington or wherever and go practice in Arkansas. It doesn't make any sense. And it's scary. It's scary for the patients. And it's scary to think that there are nurses out there who are working next to nurses who may have a record that isn't quite pristine.
Terry, you work down near the nation's capital, so you've got Maryland, Virginia, D.C., all with their own licensure standards. Does this crop up in your area?
I don't know of any case that it has been an issue, but I mean, like, if I were a nurse doing drugs and I've been burned in one state, I wouldn't be advertising it. So maybe it is more of a problem than we realize just because the people involved in this aren't going to be talking about it. I do know of one case where a nurse in another state was working on a license that, or in a state where you have to say if you've been involved in any sort of legal trouble broadly, I mean, just anything. And she had, but she had been cleared of any wrongdoing. But because there was a legal issue that came up the prior year, she ended up having to send the entire transcript, court transcript, and it involved a traffic thing. I mean, it was just really insane. So I'm reading the story. I'm thinking of my friend back in the Midwest who is having this issue over a traffic problem. When we've got people who are abusing drugs working on licenses that should have been yanked. So it's like, we don't have enough resources to deal with the problem. They really need to start refocusing their efforts, I guess. Did I just make sense?
You did.
Yes, you did.
And I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of issues. Certainly one of them is that there's not enough staff or enough oversight to cross-check all of these things. I find it more frequently cropping up in the news where someone was working as a nurse under a false license, not a revoked license. They never had a nursing license. I see that happen more frequently, which tells me that the employers aren't checking licenses as well as they should. It's not falling to the state nursing boards because the person never had a real license to begin with.
Right.
So I just wanted to see if that was like, looks like we've kind of landed on that topic and it's not a huge issue. I read this article and it was a front page story and it made it seem like, oh, the world, you know, the sky is falling. You can't trust your nurse. But when you read about it, it seemed like just a couple of isolated issues and they really couldn't cite any major statistics to back up their issue that they brought up, other than the fact that people are understaffed, different states have different rules, and they didn't really have anything but a few isolated cases to bring out, which is what I expected to see, because it didn't seem that this was a huge issue.
Right, exactly. I think it's an important loophole problem that needs to be addressed. But as far as I've been aware, I have not worked with, I've only worked with nurses who were licensed in the state of California or who were working as travelers in the state of California, not not licensed in all the states as in a multi-state license, but were actual travelers that came in. And I think there's a difference there as opposed to working in California, then moving to another state and working in that state as a resident, but with a California license, if that makes any sense.
Well, I know in my area, we have what we call compact states that are the states right here in the Mid-Atlantic area, and not even all of them, but some of them. And you still have to apply and get a license in the next state. You know, so I live up near Pennsylvania and Delaware, and for me to work in either of those states, I have to still go and show my Maryland license and proof that I have a license in Maryland of some sort, and then go ahead and apply and pay the fee for a state license in those states. And then I have to maintain a state license in my state of residence, as well as a license in the state in which I work.
Well, that sounded complicated.
It did. Well, it is. But
it is.
I have a feeling that people, I'm not the only person that lives near state lines, and, it, you know, it's, there are five hospitals within a half hour of where I am, and three of them are out of state.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's not a problem I have here.
No, you're on the coast in California, so you're at a distance from that issue. But
exactly.
But you have travelers that come in, even if they're travelers. I mean, most states require travelers to get a license in the state in which they're going to be working. At least that's my understanding.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. I know if I, for instance, move to Oregon, I have to get an Oregon license, but there's nothing I have to do other than apply and pay for it, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and that's, you know, I reached out and put out a couple of Twitter posts saying, hey, I need travel nurses. Who's a travel nurse? Come on the show. Because I'd like to verify that. But my understanding has always been that you do need to get a license in the state in which you're going to be working. And so you generally, and I know that pertains in my area, too, you have to have a license in your resident state, and you have to have a license in the state in which you're going to be working. But there's always a home license.
Right. Always your base, your home state.
Mm-hmm. So that's always been my understanding of how that works. But I could be wrong. And you know, if you're a travel nurse listening to the show here and you want to come on, we'll talk about this again and bring you on a future episode. Or, you know, call in and I'll talk with you and we can dump it into an episode so that people can hear how it's working for you. So I urge the listeners to bring in their thoughts on those things.
You know, I've always wondered maybe if, I mean, just listening to what we've been talking about, when I applied for my current job at undisclosed government hospital, I learned that you can work in a military hospital on any license in the United States. So maybe instead of getting rid, you know, instead of letting nurses work so many different places unsupervised and getting into trouble and all that good stuff, keep one license and just make it like a federal license, and you could travel anywhere. If you screw up, you only got one license and they can yank it.
You know, that's interesting. That would make the need for a federal Nursing Practice Act. I for one of my classes last semester, I was looking up nurse practice acts and comparing a few of them, and some of them are so vague as to be jaw-dropping. Others are much longer and more detailed. California's was much, I'm trying to think, did I do Delaware? I'm trying to think which one I did, if I can remember. But some of them they basically say very little as to be almost useless. So the Nurse Practice Act changes from state to state to state also. So if there was a national nursing license that you could get that would cover you and you could travel anywhere, there would have to be a federal Nurse Practice Act, I would think.
Mm-hmm. So I hear that we've got a federal Nurse Practice Act. Don't you think a lot of people are going to be balking at having that kind of oversight? I mean, one of the reasons that the states have their individual licensures and Nurse Practice Acts is because they want to have their own standards for safety. And I know that some states are more stringent about background checks than others and, I don't know, maybe this is the closet libertarian cropping up in me. Do we really want that kind of overall control for a local issue?
No, absolutely not. I don't think, but I was thinking, going on what Terry had said, if there was one oversight for licensing, I can't imagine that you would be then licensed under 50 different practice acts because each state is different. I don't want federal oversight over it. I think state is fine. I think the states need to communicate in that, what you do in one state that would cause an issue with your nursing license, whether it be a drug addiction or a felony offense or whatever it is that they're looking askance at you for, then that should be communicated and should be applicable to all states, not just your home state, but there has to be a way for the other states to know that. And I'm surprised that they don't vet the nurses more that are coming in. You're right, though. This seemed to be a rare thing, a very scary rare thing, but a rare occurrence. So thank goodness. But I think more communication and more accountability is the way to go, but not necessarily a huge federal oversight.
So it seems like we've kind of wrapped up that issue, and I expected it not to be too big of a deal, but I wanted to bring it up since it was a front page story. I have another article that I just popped up on my radar here, and I'm going to send it out to you guys in the chat room. It's an article about Doctor, what exactly does this entry mean? It's looking at a new project to improve the reading of doctor's notes in the patient record. Now, it's aimed at patient access. It's interesting to me that this has become an issue after patients gained the right to review doctor's notes in 96 after the HIPAA Act was passed, and that patients can't often read what the doctor wrote in their chart. I think this is amusing because nurses have been dealing with this issue for some time, although the advent of electronic entry systems and data records have certainly improved some of the issues associated with poorly written orders or illegible orders. Have you found that to be still a problem?
You mean reading doctor's writing?
Reading doctor's writing? I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's ridiculous. I don't know where they've learned to write or not write, but it's ludicrous to the point that when someone does write legibly and neatly, I make a comment on it because it's very, very difficult to read some of these guys' writing. And guys, meaning guys/gals, not being sexist here. Women doctors don't write any better.
So you don't use a system whereby all the orders are going through a computer, and therefore they're already printed out.
We're about circa 1995 in the technology in our ER. We won't have electronic medical records apparently for another year and a half. And they've been working on it for a year. So, yeah, no, we're still, everything is written down. The orders are put in to a computer system.
Right.
But the orders are written, handwritten, prior to going into the computer system.
So they put on the chart that way.
Yeah, and luckily, luckily we work with the same docs all the time. I mean, I do. So you get to know somebody's writing after a while and what they'll order and that sort of thing. So you get familiar. And of course, in the ER, it's always quick to just say, what does this mean? I'll tell you what I think it says, but tell me what it really says. And it's easy to do that because the doc is right there. So, but yeah, it's when other docs come in and they write orders, it's very difficult to read.
Well, I am a spoiled brat. I now work at a place where the doctors must enter their own orders. They type their own notes. Everything is done electronically, and I don't have to deal with their illegible handwriting anymore. Woohoo! It's wonderful.
I am so jealous.
You should be. I wonder what kind of handwriting Doctor Who has.
Perfect handwriting.
Really?
Did you expect me to say anything else?
Does it change when he morphs into another doctor?
One can only expect that it would.
And it's all legible.
So many things are going through my mind right now that I can't say. Yeah, it's
legible. Oh, this is
Jamie, you got to cut this out. Wait.
Is this the time where we jump into the Dr. Extender issue?
Oh, Lord.
I think it's a good segue.
Oh, my.
Well, I mean, because Kim, you brought up that it's now nurses and PAs and nurse practitioners are referred to by physician literature, at least in your area, as doctor or physician extenders, which, of course, you know, takes your mind in all sorts of late night infomercial directions. But
oh, totally. This was I didn't like it when they called nurses aides, nurse extenders, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I thought it was degrading for nursing, and I thought it was degrading for the nurses aides to be called basically a nursing extension as opposed to providing a service, I mean, that included nursing, you know, basic nursing care at the aide level. But it struck me as just insulting all the way around. Now, nursing, at least from one of the physician companies that staff emergency physicians in my state, has referred to nurse practitioners and PAs as physician extenders, which my jaw dropped, and not just for nursing, but also for physician's assistants. Despite the name, they're not extending anything. They're providing independent care. And in some areas, an NP or a PA is all that is there, that they're the only ones providing care to a certain population. So they're not really extending any doctors. But what it makes me think of when I hear it is that, you know, I'm sorry, but the nurse practitioners I know are not male enhancement drugs. And that's what physician extender sounds like. You know, it sounds like, don't even go there, you know. It's insulting to, if I were a physician, I would find it insulting that I'm being extended. There's something insulting at that level, and there's also something insulting about being considered an extension of somebody else, again, implying some sort of ownership. I can't speak to PAs because I'm not really 100% familiar with how they function in relationship to the doctor. But their term physician's assistants, maybe they're a little more under the oversight of a physician than a nurse would be. I don't know. But I know that to be called a physician extender, when in reality I would be an advanced practice nurse, is horribly insulting.
Terry, do you have any physician extenders in your hospital?
Not that anyone will admit to.
I just can't say it with a straight face. I'm sorry.
No, you can't.
I what
The government has a lot of things, but I don't think they're into extenders.
Oh, I need to, like, meet this person. I want to, like, take his picture and say, this is Bob Johnson, originator of the term physician extender.
Oh, God, no kidding. Either that or, like, you're a pair of suspenders or something. It's just an unfortunate term.
Put them next to the person you named hubcaps. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's hello. And then, you know, it's if you want to call them advanced practice colleagues, or if you want to call them, if they're a PA, call them a physician's assistant, because that's what they are. That's what they're named that way for. But use that term. Use physician assistant or use advanced practice nursing colleague. I mean... Something that brings a little more respect than, you know, here we are and we have all these, you know, web extensions out there doing our work for us. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I didn't like it when it happened to nursing or when nursing was doing it. And I don't like it now that this particular organization is doing it.
And so what do we call? I mean, I always find a problem when you call somebody by their job or by the description of the duties that they perform. And while advanced practice nurses don't per se extend the physician, they provide their own services. It seems to me that this would be just being the devil's advocate. This is a company providing staffing services. They're trying to tell, you know, the hospitals that use their services that these are ways to fill slots that might ordinarily be filled by a physician in certain cases. Is that what I'm reading them to be?
Possibly, but their choice of terminology it leads me to think that they're just promoting this idea that anything other than a physician is an extension of the physician. So they're just perpetuating that. That idea. What they could say is, you know, we offer a variety of professionals to help meet your staffing needs. We have physicians, we have, board certified physicians, we have advanced practice nurses who specialize in emergency department care. We have physician's assistants. In other words, we have a mix of professions that you can use or tailor to your department. We have physicians, and by the way, if you don't need a full doctor here, have an NP or put a PA in there and extend the physician that you do have. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's very, what's the word, paternalistic. It's very, you know, looking down the nose at, yes, if you don't need a doctor, we've got, you know, nurses for you or a PA, you know. It's like, it was irritating.
Now, don't hold back, Kim.
I won't. See, now the thing is, I was going to write a blog post on this, so now I got to get myself all riled up again. Well, actually, I should do the blog post right after we hang up, because now I'm all riled up.
I'm all about getting you material, Kim. You know, but I can't write the blog for you.
Getting me riled up is apparently not very hard to do.
Well, okay, let's talk a little bit about a happy thing. I sent a link out to both of you in the conference, in the chat room there, and it is a good thing about a nurse being recognized for doing things right. Nurses Caring Dedication earns national accolade, and it's talking about a nurse from, I think, Madison, Wisconsin, looking at her dedication to the profession, and that she's been nominated for a Nurse of the Year award by the United Ostomy Association at their national conference. You know, I don't see enough articles like this where, you know, nurses who've been recognized for, you know, their achievements and recognized for their dedication I don't see enough articles like this out there. I always love to look at these opportunities to raise up one of our own. Do you think that we should be doing more to promote the nurse leaders in each of our communities and promote people for these types of awards or just talk about the nurses that we have around us?
Terry, you want to take this to start?
Sure. I think that I'm surprised a story like that is circulating right now because the media, I'm going to be talking about the media and yellow journalism, but if it bleeds, it leads. If it's violent, people pay attention. If it's dirty or corrupt, you get hits on the internet, you sell newspapers. And the fact that a nurse is being recognized for doing good work really, in the eyes of most editors, is boring, and they won't print it. I have made suggestions to local newspapers. When I sat on committees to do publicity for, you know, like Nurse Week or whatever, I contact local editors. No one's interested. We already know nurses are good. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you're an angel of mercy. Great. Yeah. Next. We'll pass. But thanks.
Yeah, this is nice that that she was nominated by her ostomy support group to show their love and appreciation. They nominated McTeague Antoinette McTeague is the nominated nurse for Nurse of the Year, an award she received from the United Ostomy Association. Absolutely wonderful that they took the time to do this. And for every nurse that is recognized at the national level, there are 10,000 doing the exact same work. That's not disparaging the person who got the award, not at all, but there are so many nurses out there that are dedicated, that are researching, that are working with patients and making their lives better, that it's when someone gets a national recognition like this from a patient association, it sounds like I like to think that she's the tip of the iceberg, and that it's like, wow, I mean, I didn't even know there was a United Ostomy Association until just now. So this is really neat. And to looking at how she got to where she was working full time while she was trying to get her master's degree. I can relate to that. you know, and then all the different ways that she managed to get where she's at. I mean, that's a really good, you know, look what hard work will do for you kind of thing. But I'm sure she appreciates getting the award. And like I said, she's, for everyone that you see that got a national award, which outside of the nursing profession itself, unless you get something from ANA or whatever, you don't see it in the media very often. There's thousands and thousands of nurses that do that are working hard and doing the same thing. So I think, like you said, unless it's really, I hate to say bad news, but you rarely will see this, I think, in the newspaper. So this was the Madison Eagle.
Yeah, and actually I said Madison, Wisconsin. It's actually New Jersey. So I misspoke. But it's definitely, you know, you're right. I mean, I can't argue with Terry's statement. If it bleeds, it leads. It certainly is the case. I mean, what about the story we talked about at the very beginning, that the scandal and the problem with multi-state licenses is this huge issue, and to turn around and look at this story, which is on a website, but probably ran in a local paper, and probably wasn't a front page story. It was probably a human interest story on the third section in the paper or whatever. I'd like to see more of these, and I'd like to see us I mean, you talk about being recognized, Kim. Certainly, we could do more to recognize the nurses that we know. Maybe we need to have a nurse blogger of the year or something to recognize those nurse bloggers that are out there doing things in the community online. I think it falls to each organization, each locale, each group to put forward their own examples of people that they think have done it right. And I always like to point these types of articles out for my different shows and different topic areas, because I think we don't do enough to lift up the people that do the right thing.
Right. And nurses that we work right next to every day. You know, I know I work with a lot of nurses that I respect very highly. And if that's not something I say to them every day. And so I don't know that they know that I think of them in that way. So even to our coworkers on a day-to-day basis, we could recognize maybe a little better, although it's, you know, it might be a little awkward to go right up and say, you know, I respect your nursing care so much, and have them go, what? Where'd that come from? But, you know, it's something that we don't hear very often.
Maybe we need to come up with our own Hallmark card. You know, you're the kind of nurse I try to be.
Oh my God. I could get a, yeah, but they can't be too hokey.
I know. Well, you know, I mean, can't do anything and be serious. So
I'd be like, you're the angel of mercy in my heaven of healthcare, you know, or something.
You're not just a physician extender to me.
Extend this. You know, so.
Oh, that is the title for this week's show.
Oh, great.
You heard it first here, people. Oh, you wonder how we come up with these things?
I won't make it the title of the blog. I was going to entitle it, Oh, Yes, I'm the Great Extender, like I'm the Great Pretender, but I thought, no, that's not the point that I'm trying to make, so I probably better get a more appropriate...
appropriate what?
Well, on occasion, I have been known to fake it, so...
When?
Well, every now and then.
Okay.
I'm just cringing here.
Okay. Well, hey, do you want to talk about the med code that I have?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Tell us. Well, of course, the med code is related to Blog World and the med blogger track we're having at Blog World. And I say we, but I'll be attending. But Kim, you're one of the organizers of this amazing effort. Tell us about it.
Well, I just got the discount med code for the conference, and which is, I believe, I want to say October 15th through 17th this year in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay. And the URL for that is blogworldexpo.com. And we are, as med bloggers, get a $195 discount from whatever pass you select. So if you are going just to the med blogger, normally it's $395 and it would be $200. And if you're going to the full access pass, normally that's $895. With our discount, it's $700 for all 3 days. If you're a blogger or involved in social media in any way, this is the place to be in terms of networking, in terms of information that you will come away with. You'll just come away so jazzed, it isn't even funny. To get these med codes, I was actually given a whole bunch of them, and each person will have their individual code to use on the site. So they would have to, I'm going to put this up on the blog also. So if you want to go to emergyblog.com, probably by tomorrow, you'll get the contact information so that if you're going to register, I can give you a code. There will be some blogging scholarships given we're not sure how many because they're being sponsored, but the scholarship would include the Social Media Business Summit. That's the day that the med bloggers meet, a full access pass, 3 nights hotel at Mandalay Bay, and an airline ticket to the event up to $450. The scholarship recipients would have to complete the registration process by 45 days out from the event to redeem the offer. So as soon as we find out how many are available, we'll figure out where those scholarships will go. But it sure is a deal. Holy cow.
Now, does somebody have to, have to register for the event and pay for the ticket and then apply for the scholarship separately?
Well, that's a good point, because if it has to be 45 days out, then I think that we're looking probably at the beginning of September. So I would think that you would have to know that you're getting the scholarship. You'll still register on the site, but probably with a specific code for the scholarship.
So they wouldn't have to register first. They would
exactly.
They would apply to you for the scholarship and say, "Hey, I really want to go, but I need the scholarship to make it work." Or,
well, I'll find out hopefully this week exactly. As soon as we know how many we should have, we'll know how they're being divided up, because there are we've got so many different bloggers this year. Well, we always have had, but this year even more so in terms of separating into health business blogging and social media, and then patient care provider, kind of a mini track in the track this year. So as soon as I find out who gets these and where they're going, I'll put it up on the blog for sure.
And, of course, you'll get to see all three of us there and meet other great med bloggers and physician bloggers and physician extender bloggers. I'm sorry. You can come watch Kim smack Jamie in Star Wars.
And you can place bets on
that.
Oh my goodness!
There's we'll collect money for charity.
That's right, and the highest bidder gets to smack Jamie around. All right. Well, unfortunately, because of blogging and social media, what happens in Vegas, it goes everywhere, including Vegas now. So,
except Dr. Anonymous won't be there with his ubiquitous video camera this year.
Is Dr. A not going?
He can't. He has a conflict.
Wait till I talk to him.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, dude.
He and I had so much fun last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did he meet Midget Elvis?
You know what? He didn't go to that one. I tried to hand out cards to that particular party for everybody I knew, and didn't see any of the med bloggers go. But I'll tell you, when you go to this event, especially if you go to the full event, you get to see get a lot of other information about blogging and social media in general. And so if you're a blogger just getting started, or if you've been doing this for a long time, I promise you, you will pick up something to really improve and expand on what you're doing with your social media and on your blog. Plus, there's an exhibit hall with a lot of different people there showing you new social media tools and all kinds of stuff. And everybody, at least every night, there's a party of some kind hosted by one of the vendors. And last year, the Raw Voice Blueberry guys, rawvoice.com, they host a lot of different podcast networks. And one of my partners on the ProMed network, they hosted a party. And one of the people, they had like entertainers there. They had a magician, and it was in this like lounge. It was really, really kind of swanky. It was kind of fun. And they had a midget Elvis, this little guy in a sequin jumpsuit with sunglasses on and the whole hairdo. And you'd go up and, thank you very much. And so I was like, oh, I've got midget Elvis. I was twittering ridiculously about that. So, but there'll be a lot of opportunities to meet up. And I hope that all of you that are listening, if you're interested in starting a blog and you want to get out to Vegas and come to the expo, it would be a great opportunity to just meet and expand on your nursing practice. I really think that I have become a better care provider through my social media contacts.
Oh, absolutely. I will concur. Blogging, it sounds hokey, but basically changed my life. I never would have gone back to school for my bachelor's degree if it hadn't been for reading the blogs of nursing students and seeing how enthusiastic they were about what they were doing and how much they were working towards the goal of becoming an RN, something that I had basically taken for granted for 2.5 decades and was pretty burnt out with at the time. And it rejuvenated my whole career just by writing, not just by writing, but by reading other nursing blogs. So, yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about it, you need to just do it. It doesn't have to be a fancy template. You don't have to have advertising. You don't have to have anything but your blog posts on it. That's all in the bottom line. That's all that matters is your content. So if you're thinking about it, you know, WordPress.com or blog, God, I never thought I'd say this, Blogger.com or Blogspot.com. I hear they've gotten better since I left them 5 years ago. If you get a simple template and just start writing, it's real easy to get started.
Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the most.
And then tell me you did it.
Oh yeah,
so I can link to it.
Yeah, I love to hear about new bloggers and read the stuff they're putting up. I mean, just to understand this: every time you're having an issue with something, whether it's something you're having trouble learning if you're a student, or if it's something that really tweaks you and you get annoyed with, like somebody coming in and saying, "I am a physician extender," whatever the case may be. you can blog about it, and you are not alone. I'm always pleasantly surprised when someone goes, "Oh, I'm so glad you wrote about that," or "I'm so glad you talked about that in your podcast," because I've had an issue with that for so long. And it helps bring us all closer together, and it makes us a tighter community overall.
Oh, and worldwide. Don't be surprised if the response to your issue is coming from England or Japan or Australia or Canada. It's everywhere.
South Africa. We met a blogger from South Africa last year.
Absolutely. He said he's the top blogger in South Africa, but that's because there's only like 4 of them. So that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. He has an amazing blog. What's that?
He's very cool.
He is.
And he came all... Okay, folks. He came all the way from South Africa to Blog World. Now that shows you how important that conference is to your blogging, just in terms of what you're going to be taking away from it. People are coming from all over the world to this blog. And it's not just blogs, as Jamie knows, it's podcasts and vlogging and vlogging as in video blogging. It's all social media. At Twitter and Facebook, I think we're just sort of, I won't say just getting a toehold, but because everybody was tweeting right and left the entire conference, but it covers the, I call it the mini media, the Twitter and Facebook, although Facebook isn't that mini anymore. And in fact, one of the things we'll be discussing in a panel at my panel, the one I'm moderating, is the effect of these little mini media, social media applications and their effect on blogging, pro or con, and ways of incorporating all those different aspects of social media to accent and enhance your blog.
So there you go, folks. We will be talking probably a good bit about Blog World in the coming weeks, because it's going to be here before we know it. I mean, it's mid-October, and we're looking forward to being there, and we hope that all of you that are interested will definitely come. Take the leap. Join us. If for no other reason, you go and take a trip to Vegas, hang out with some of your favorite nurse podcasters and bloggers, and, you know, the person that comes the farthest, we will put you on. We're going to record an episode of Insights out there. We'll bring you on the Insights show. Heck, we'll bring you on the Insights show anyway if you want to be on. But we will feature the person that comes up to us and says, "I think I came the farthest." So there you go. Incentive.
Okay. Boy, you laid it down. All right. Let's see who takes you up on it.
So, Kim, while we have you on here, where can we find you on the web?
Emergyblog.com. And my Twitter handle is also Emergyblog, so I'm easy to find.
And Terry?
Nurse wretchedplace.com. My handle is MotherJonesRN.
And I'm Jamie Davis, also known as the Pod Medic in some of my incarnations, but you'll find me primarily for nursing over at nursingshow.com, where I have my other podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget you can find these episodes over at insightsinnursing.com. You can subscribe via iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, or other great podcast engines. We have RSS feeds and everything available for you over there. And, of course, we'll have another episode. We try to come out every week, so you'll definitely want to check back and find out more about how to get the Insights in Nursing delivered to you absolutely free. Leave a comment for us over there. Shoot us an email with a topic you'd like us to cover. Tell us what you think of physician extenders, but head over to insightsinnursing.com and let us know. That's it. I will remind all of you that we're going to be back again next week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to Insights in Nursing.